This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, new evidence in the case of undercover journalist David DeLayden, who exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking in baby body parts, that the Texas district attorney that led the effort to indict DeLayden was actually communicating and even coordinating with Planned Parenthood. One of David's attorneys, Tom Brekka, is here with those details. And check this out. Does your state have a state book? Well, Tennessee lawmakers passed a resolution last week making their state book the good book, the Bible, that's right. But the Republican governor, well, he vetoed the measure. Now, that, however, may not be the last chapter in this story. One of the co-sponsors of the bill, Tennessee State Senator Janice Bowling, has the latest. She joins us here a little bit later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you would like to find out more about today's topics and our guest, simply head right over to that website. Also, if you are not already getting our information, daily updates and email alerts to keep you informed of what's happening, not only in your state, but across the nation, you need to sign up. You can do it at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. By the way, this weekend, we had hundreds of churches across the country were a part of Stand With the Persecuted. Our church and my home church in Baton Rouge, we did that. It was really eye-opening. And in fact, I may want to talk about that a little bit later here on Washington Watch, if your church participated in the Stand With the Persecuted. Praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters, and in challenging the church to stand with him, I'd like to hear about it when we open up the phone lines. And that number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and it's increasing. In fact, news over the weekend that we're going to probably see more of it, the world is a more dangerous place as a result of the unilateral efforts by President Obama, who released 9 more terrorists from Gitmo. Yeah, that's right. These are some of the individuals who fought against U.S. forces and coalition forces in Afghanistan, some who were bodyguards to Osama bin Laden. They're now in Saudi Arabia, and I'm sure they'll find their way back to the front lines in this war against radical Islamist terrorism. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics and our guest. And in just a bit, we're going to be joined by one of the attorneys of David DeLayden. And this is really a fascinating case. What's happened here in a case that spans both Texas and California, California being where David resided, was his home, partly where he did some of the undercover videos, but also in Texas. And the Planned Parenthood, and again, let me go back and set the stage for this. I mean, I'm sure everybody recalls. These were the videos that have been out for almost a year now, a series of videos showing Planned Parenthood and their trafficking in baby body parts, selling baby body parts for a profit. Now, it's illegal, and it shows the darker side, or, I mean, is there a darker side? It's all dark. Of abortion and Planned Parenthood. And you saw in the videos just how callous these individuals really were in dealing with these babies, and almost taking almost like mail order of people saying, you know, what body parts do you need? And we'll adjust our procedures accordingly. I mean, all this stuff is potentially illegal. Again, we're just the evidence we see and it's obviously has to be adjudicated. But the turn of events is David DeLayden was indicted by a grand jury in Texas. Now, evidence from his attorneys suggest that evidence that his attorneys made public last week is, and they've asked the case be dismissed because there is now evidence to show that the district attorney there in Texas was in communication with and possibly coordinating with the very entity that David DeLayden was exposing, Planned Parenthood. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, of course, you're not hearing about this in the Main Street media, but it's out there. Anyway, we're going to be joined by his attorney a little bit later. Also, we're going to be joined by one of the sponsors of the bill in Tennessee regarding making the state's book the Bible, and the governor vetoing it. But first, I want to get some feedback from those of you who may have participated this weekend in the Stand with the Persecuted. I got a few minutes, and I want to take a couple of calls. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation. If your church participated in the Stand with the Persecuted, I'd like to hear from you and what impact you think that may have had in raising awareness of the fact that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, not only in the Middle East, but in China, Africa, many parts of the country, and of course in the world, but even in this country. We're seeing an increase of this, what I would describe is persecution of Christians who will not yield to the state, and in most cases what it is now is on the issue of marriage because of their religious beliefs. In fact, I was on TV over the weekend debating this issue regarding the where this is going. And that we must, I was defending the Mississippi law and the North Carolina law. Of course, North Carolina, a different case. That's a public safety issue. But the issue in Mississippi being clearly a religious liberty issue. And it was interesting. And it was a Hearst TV. And it was on program, I mean, on stations across the country, about 70% of the country. I don't know if you may have seen it. But it was interesting where the host, Fernando, was taking this. Made it very clear, if you read between the lines and where they're going with this, is business licenses. Now, this is one of the reasons when I was in office, I opposed these licensure measures. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. There was an association that would petition the state to require a license to get into that business, whether you're a florist, whether you were a plumber, and you know, some of the things I can understand, but it's gotten to the point that every profession requires a business license. Well, if you happen to see my interview, and I think we have it posted on my website, you see where they want to go with this. They want to take your business license if you do not subscribe to this redefinition of marriage. Now, it reminded me of a debate I had when I was in the legislature years ago about an individual who had advocated that they take away the business licenses of quote-unquote deadbeat dads. Now, I'm all for making, you know, dads pay for their child support, but think about this. They wanted to take away the license from plumbers, from carpenters, even driver's license. How are they going to pay? This show me this whole idea of the state licensing these activities is another form of control. And this is where the homosexual community wants to go next. They want to take away your business license. Whether it has anything to do with the issue, it's just if you do not subscribe to their view of marriage, they want to take this away. Look, don't take my word for it. Listen to the debate that I had with this host on Hearst TV. All right, I want to hear from you. We've got a few minutes here before we have our first guest. If you participated, your church participated this weekend in the Stand with the Persecuted, give me a call, 866-372-7234. And we're going to go to Oklahoma, where Marie is on the line. Marie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being instrumental in Stand with the Persecuted Sunday. I was so thankful that this event came about, and it was such a wonderful way to express our love for our brothers and sisters, especially in the Middle East. For me, my heart is broken, has been broken for them. And I was thankful for the opportunity to do that.
What did your church do as a way to observe this stand, or to participate in the Stand with the Persecuted?
Well, I related as best I could and showed the Wednesday night. I wrote a letter about it and showed it to different ones and showed the video. But I had no idea what was going to happen. And then, lo and behold, the pastor led the congregation in an amazing anointed prayer for our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, especially, well, all over the world, really.
Yeah. Well, Marie, that just the fact that the churches in America are doing that is an encouragement to Christians in those areas that are being persecuted. We actually this morning received an email from a Pakistani Christian who was actually here in the United States, and he was with some churches in New York City, where about five or six of those churches actually participated in the event, and they were so grateful that the church here in America is now paying attention to this. Now, that's not to say that no churches have been paying attention to it. I know they have been, but the churches here in America have not, I think, empathized. We've sympathized, but not empathized. And there's a big difference. I mean, Jesus, when he came to this earth, and it says that we can reach out to him because, like us, he has suffered all of the things that there's nothing we can encounter that Jesus himself has not encountered. And that is why he can sympathize, or he can empathize with us, and we can reach him because he has been touched by the very things that we have been touched. And we see it, we read it in the newspaper, we see it on TV, and, you know, we're moved to compassion from time to time when we see these families that are separated, children sold into slavery, men and women killed for their faith. I don't think we fully have embraced the understanding of the persecution that's taking place around the world toward Christians. It is. I mean, it is the focal point of persecution. And, of course, it's evil. It's from the beginning of the church. It's been targeted. And as my pastor pointed out yesterday in his message on this topic, the entire service, it's Satan that's behind this, who has wanted to somehow stamp out the gospel and prevent the good news from going forward. But he has not succeeded, and he will not succeed. And you and I here in the United States need to continue to draw attention to support those who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And you can do that by standing with ministries like those who partnered with us, Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors USA, and others who were a part of yesterday, who are actually doing hands-on work with the persecuted church. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by one of David DeLayden's attorneys. Tom Brekka is going to join us to give us the latest on how that case is unfolding in Texas, where they have alleged that Planned Parenthood was actually communicating and coordinating with the district attorney who indicted David. We're going to talk about that when we return here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with a lot more after this.
What does it mean to be equal? According to the dictionary, equal means the same for each person. Last year, the so-called Equality Act was introduced in Congress by adding sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories under federal civil rights law. This act would give special perks to some people just because they identify as homosexual or transgender. It's important to remember that many bills introduced in Congress have positive-sounding titles that hide their true agendas. The Equality Act is a perfect example. This bill puts people who live out their faith on unequal footing under the law. It imposes sexual orientation and gender identity provisions on religious schools and universities, rejects the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and so much more. FRC's new publication on this legislation is a brief summary of the dangers this bill poses towards those who hold a biblical view of marriage and the family. Visit frc.org/equalityact to learn more.
If you own appreciated real estate or stock, you're probably aware of the tax disadvantage of selling your assets. But did you know there's a way to cash out on the sale of your appreciated assets while receiving income for life and enjoying a charitable tax deduction? It's called a sale and unit trust. And with proper planning, it may be possible to achieve those benefits with zero tax. You could even receive enough cash out of the transaction to use as a down payment on another home or residence. To learn more about a sale and unit trust and how it might work for you, contact the AFA Foundation. The AFA Foundation exists to help you maximize the good financial decisions you've made over the years for the benefit of your family and organizations like the American Family Association. You can find the AFA Foundation on Facebook, visit our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. New evidence in the undercover video case of the Center for Medical Progress, which suggests that Harris County prosecutors in Texas that indicted David DeLayden had an unusual and potentially unlawful relationship with abortion giant Planned Parenthood, which was the subject of DeLayden's undercover videos. DeLayden's attorneys are asking a Houston court to dismiss his charges. The charges against him after finding out they had colluded with and leaked information to Planned Parenthood. Join me now is one of those attorneys. He's the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Society, Tom Brekka. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, glad to be with you.
All right. What is this information that suggests that Planned Parenthood was actually working with the district attorney in Texas in a case in which they were the subject of these videos that David DeLayden released?
Well, Tony, we found that the lawyer for Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, which is the abortion provider right down there in Houston, actually bragged about the fact that he, during the grand jury proceedings, that is the grand jury that culminated and returned these indictments against David and also his colleague Susan Merritt. That I'm quoting here. This was his statement to the press that he had maintained, quote, a dialogue about the details of the case, and he kept it going throughout, unquote, the proceedings of the grand jury. Well, that's just an outrageous admission. Grand jury proceedings are secret, traditionally, in every state that I know of, and certainly in Texas by statute. And here is the target of the grand jury. You know, it was set up to investigate Planned Parenthood, saying that he was, in effect, working with the prosecutor on how to run the grand jury.
Now, in all of your years of practicing law, I mean, have you heard of that happening? I mean, isn't that highly unusual for something like that to happen?
Well, Tony, it's absolutely outrageously illegal. You know, the grand jury is sealed behind closed doors. Nobody is to know what's going on. When you get a subpoena to appear, you are warned that it's contempt of court to tell anybody what you're even asked about. And here's this prosecutor, obviously, at least according to the complaining witness, who was supposedly the target of the grand jury, keeping him apprised of all the details. And that's just outrageous, and it ought to, a gross violation of law. And they ought to throw out the indictments. That's what we're asking the court to do.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Tom Brekka is my guest. He is the president and chief counsel for the Thomas More Society. Let me ask you this, Tom. I mean, you've asked that these charges against your client, David DeLayden, be thrown out. What is the next step in this process? How long before you know what the court will do?
Well, we're going in, Tony. The next court date is May the 8th, just around the corner, really, the way things are proceeding in these cases. And we're presenting this motion. We've already filed it with the court. People are talking about it down in Texas as well as elsewhere. And we may get a decision on the spot. I would think they would want to hear an explanation from the prosecutor. And if she can't come up with one, let's say if I were the Texas judge, I'd say, well, that's enough. I'm throwing this out. If you want to go back to the drawing board and do it right, that's fine. But we're not going to waste anybody's time with such a tainted indictment.
The fact that this has taken place, as you've pointed out, this is not just highly unusual, it's illegal. Who would then be in the position to enforce the law in the case with the district attorney's office? I mean, let's say the case, the indictment against David DeLayden aside, there's still behavior here that is unlawful. Who will uphold the law and seek justice in the case of this employee of the district attorney?
Well, Tony, we've got very, very able Texas lawyers, helping us here, and they're going to cry bloody murder. I mean, when they, we're not going into court to speak quietly and meekly. We're going to go on and demand justice. And I think it's up to the judge. That's who we look to dispense justice. And let's hope, we have two judges and two different cases here, both a felony and a misdemeanor. They go to different courts down in Texas. Mm-hmm. I hope both of them, a male judge and a lady judge, I hope they see the light and give us the kind of justice we deserve. You know, I want to just add one more thing. I mean, it's not just this one press story. There are the New York Times, our good friends in New York who are not exactly pro-life, they had a big puff piece on the lawyers who are suing David in San Francisco in the racketeering case. They're one of the two racketeering cases. And in that article, which praised him for doing all this wonderful work, pro bono, etc., which we don't believe, they bragged, they quoted him saying that he heard about the indictments in Texas before they were publicly announced. Well, that too is another outrage. Texas law says you cannot announce an indictment until the defendant is bonded or in custody. Hmm. So it was just a series of outrageous actions in disregard of law.
All right. Well, Tom, we're going to continue to track this because I think this is a major case, not only in the exposing of Planned Parenthood, which was the subject of these videos, but the effort to silence those citizen journalists like David who have exposed the left. Tom, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Tony. Bye-bye.
All right. Tom Brekka with the Thomas More Society. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. They're representing David in his legal case. Notice how the left, I mean, they close ranks because Planned Parenthood is like they're at the core of the left, and they have to protect them at all cost. Keep your eye on this case, a very important case. All right, when we come back, we're going to be going to Tennessee to talk about their new book.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
There is some economic data coming out this week. Some of it, building permits, housing starts, existing home sales, all very important. With the exception of housing starts, everything's expected to be up in the housing sector for the month of March. One would hope so. We've had a pretty slow start to the year, so hopefully the month of March will show some improvement. Crude inventories, very pivotal this week, based on the fact, here's a surprise, the weekend talks that everyone was hoping we're going to freeze oil production basically came out a no-go. There is not going to be any freeze. Saudi Arabia, as I said they would, lording over that meeting. They are not going to slow production. We don't see any signs of slowing production. I said that back a week ago, early last week, that it wasn't going to happen. They have been doing this over and over again. But as long as Iran and Saudi Arabia are in the mix, it's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, the Saudi prince came out of the meeting and said, it looks like we could unleash a million barrel of oil a day increase. That is dramatic, folks. So they are giving up their hopes of seeing oil increase in price to help their economy out in an effort to gain market share. I gotta believe that what they're thinking is this increased market share is obviously going to give them stability for the future. This increased market share that they're going after is exactly what U.S. oil companies should have been doing some several months ago.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. You know, when I was in the Louisiana legislature, we had an intense debate between having the tomato or the strawberry as the state fruit. I said, well, I mean, I thought tomato was a vegetable. No, it's actually a fruit. And we had a knockdown dragout because Louisiana is known for its strawberries and ponchatoula, and its tomatoes have these big Creole tomatoes are huge. They're like almost like cantaloupes. But that's not what they're debating in Tennessee. Tennessee, last week, the legislature actually approved a measure that would make the Bible the official book of Tennessee. Now, the bill passed through the House and through the Senate. But late last week, Governor Bill Haslam, who is a Republican, vetoed the bill, which would have made Tennessee the first state to designate the Bible as its official book. Now, there are legislators who said this is not the end of the story. The final chapter has not been written, maybe in the Bible, but not in this political case. Joe now is one of the sponsors of the bill, State Senator Janice Bowling. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. I certainly do appreciate you having me here.
Well, we're glad to have you on the program. I want you to give our listeners an update on this because we've got a lot of listeners in Tennessee. All right, first off, tell me, why was the Bible put forward as the state book?
Well, first of all, that's quite simple to say. I guess when you're stopping and looking at what really reflects Tennessee values, the heritage of Tennessee, the history of Tennessee, whether people were going to the Bible as a source of interpersonal relationships or private property rights or consulting it, whether they were people of faith or not, it has always been a foundational book as to who we are in Tennessee and what we're about. And actually, when you think about it, we all have taken our oath of office with our hand on that book as those people sworn into court are using that book. So this is just a time in history when you almost need to say, yes, here's our heritage, here's who we are, and here's why we're that way. And this book has been foundational in our heritage and in our history.
Well, I certainly,
Tony, it will be very essential as we go forward as well. But sometimes you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
Very good point. And I certainly do think it's reflective of Tennessee values. Tennessee is one of the places I love to go Our family goes there often on vacation, and because it is the family values there. However, I would argue this as well. It's not just reflective of the foundation for Tennessee, but for the United States. You cannot read Absolutely. The founders without hearing them quote the Bible.
Absolutely.
Now,
I will agree. And you have the lawgiver right behind the Speaker of the House in Congress, Moses' impression there, relief there is right there. I mean, it's silly to even discuss whether or not the Bible is foundational to the very liberties that our founding fathers fought and died to present to us.
Now, the left, they hate that when you bring that up, because it's inscribed on buildings all over Washington, D.C. Our historical record is replete with references to God. You cannot read the founders without reading the Bible. And they hate that. They don't like it. But what they hate even more is when lawmakers like you try to say, wait a minute, that era has not passed. We are still dependent upon the truths of this word, and we want to embrace them. If it was good enough for our founders, why is it not still good enough for us today?
And that's so true. And even our national motto, "In God We Trust," and when our founding fathers referenced God, it wasn't a little g. It was the big G, Jehovah God. They knew who they were talking about. And so that is foundational to everything. Our code, our Judeo-Christian law is based on that code. So everything is foundational. As a matter of fact, we had that group from Wisconsin send letters. You know, they periodically send out letters about the separation of church and state and to remove God from the public square. And that is their true goal. It's not just from government. They don't want believers to be able to do anything that reflects their foundational heritage in a belief that God is the ultimate giver of our liberty, and now, our Constitution preserves it.
Senator Bowling, before we run out of time, this is not the end of the story. The governor vetoed it. However, the legislature, there's some discussion about possibly overriding the governor's veto. Where does that stand?
That is being considered right now. It would have to be overridden in the House first, since the House passed it's a House bill that passed first. It passed last year. And then the Senate would have the opportunity to override the veto. The vote was something like 55 to 36 in the House, 4 against. And in the Senate, it was 19 to 8, 4 against. And we only need a simple majority in each chamber to override the veto. I would ask those listeners all across the nation to be praying that this simple identification of the Bible as a foundational part of the history of Tennessee and who we are and what we're about, that we override this veto. It's the right thing to do.
All right, Senator Janice Bowling, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on this Monday afternoon.
I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Okay. All right, well, you heard it there. If you live in Tennessee, well, call your lawmakers and weigh in on this issue. Let them know where you stand on whether or not the Bible should be the official state book of the volunteer state. And if you'd like to weigh in with me on what you think about the Bible being the official book, well, you can call me next, because that's what we're going to talk about when we come back here from the break on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
The hallowed grounds of the Arlington National Cemetery. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We will visit the Arlington National Cemetery. We'll see the burial site of John F. Kennedy, the Arlington House, which is the home of Robert E. Lee, and also the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's just one stop on one day. So much to see in our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we'll be going to Mount Vernon. Also, a tour of Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will precede our trip to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. For all the information on these tours, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. FamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamiliesOptionFamilies.com or call for a free brochure, 800-FAMILIES-OPTION-5.
You slip away for a weekend of relaxation, but wake up to find yesterday's scratchy throat feels like a fiery furnace. Your weekend could be up in flames, but for MD Live, 24/7 access to board-certified physicians anywhere. MD Live is used by major corporations and the American Family Association to augment employee health care benefits. Information to determine whether MD Live makes sense for you is available at hcbenefits.com. hcbenefits.com.
International, interdenominational, Wesley Biblical Seminary, Jackson, Mississippi. Now's the time for you to apply at WBS, Biblical and Theological Studies with a deep commitment to the authority of Scripture. Our online and on-campus graduate programs will give you the laser-like focus for ministry that you need. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Apply today. Preach the Word, reach the world. WBS.edu.
As Christians, we occasionally need to retreat from the culture war for a time of renewal. The American Family Association invites you to retreat with us to the mountains of North Carolina, October 3rd through 6th, for the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove. Speakers at this year's event will include AFA President Tim Wildman, Governmental Affairs Director Sandy Rios, Messianic Jewish Apologist Dr. Michael Brown, Marquis Laughlin, founder of Acts of the Word Ministries, and more. As in years past, we'll gather at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. Capacity is limited to 400 participants, so make your plans to attend soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 2, followed by option 1. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th, in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter. At T. Perkins. All right, I'm going to open up the phone lines once again. 866-372-7234. What do you think about Tennessee making the Bible the official book of the state? Do you agree with that? Would you like to see your state make the Bible the official book of the state? Let me know what you think. 866-372-7234. And speaking of the Bible, and this is one of the points I've always made about prayer in the schools, Ten Commandments in the schools. Look, or in public, for that matter, we need to start in the home. Is prayer in your home? Ten Commandments, are they in your home? I mean, let's start there. Well, here's an opportunity when it comes to the Bible, is the Bible Bee, the National Bible Bee. Now, this there's a whole competition with this. They've got a summer study. It's an eight-week National Bible Bee Summer Study. It teaches an easy method to understand the scriptures in less than 20 minutes a day. And then students who complete the summer study can take an online test to qualify for the National Bible Bee competition and to an audition for the National Bible Bee Game Show. Now, competition winners receive over $500,000 in cash prizes. Now, you can find out more about the National Bible Bee Summer Study and the national competition. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Great stuff. I'm very familiar with the folks. I've helped promote this, and it's just a great opportunity for kids. So I would encourage you to check that out and maybe get your kids involved in the National Bible Bee. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, 866-372-7234. Do you support what Tennessee's doing in making the Bible the official book of the state? Would you like to see your state do it? Let me know what you think. We're going to first go to Louisiana, where James is on the line. James, welcome to Washington Watch.
We're going to first go to Louisiana, where James.
James, go ahead, turn your radio down, and let me know what you think.
How you doing? James, go ahead, turn your radio down, and
hang on. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Yes, sir. I'd like to see Louisiana do that myself.
So you support what Tennessee's doing?
Sir?
You support what Tennessee is doing in making it their official book?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Good enough. James from Louisiana supports and said he'd like to see Louisiana do the same. And that's probably part of the problem for the left, is they don't want something like this to catch on. And this is the exact thing we need to do, is push back and refuse to be quiet and to be silent. You know, let them file their lawsuits. Let them foam at the mouth and, you know, roll over and have fits. But you know what? It's time to quit retreating. My view, time to go on the advance. Let's go to Texas, where Randy is on the line. Randy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, Mr. Brother Perkins.
Yep.
Yeah, I believe that they ought to make it the state book. As a matter of fact, I think they ought to make it the curriculum in school. I don't think y'all be able to graduate 12th grade until you've read through the Bible.
Well, it's certainly, you know, there are those who say that you, and these are secular professors and historians who say you really can't understand the culture of America without having some understanding of the Bible. And, of course, that's what's given rise in the last decade and a half of Bible in the school curriculums. And Randy, there are actually states, many jurisdictions, Louisiana being one of them, in which, because I helped get it in place, where the Bible is taught as an elective. It's not mandatory, not required to graduate. But for any well-rounded student, or American citizen for that matter, they would have an understanding of the Bible. I mean, think how many phrases that you run across in the course of a day that have their origins in the Bible. I mean, a David and Goliath situation. I mean, that's certainly one that we hear quite frequently. I mean, or Gideon's army. There's just so many phrases that we hear that have their origins in the Bible. And of course, understanding our system of government and how it works cannot fully be appreciated and understood without an understanding of Scripture. Randy, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. 866-372-7234. We're going to go to North Carolina, where Terry is on the line. Terry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry. What do you think? You agree with what Tennessee's doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that the federal government has made some audacious laws against the lesser governments. I think it's just fair that we make some laws so that we can fight back.
You know, I agree with you, Terry, and I think that's where a lot of people, and I see this in some legislators, thankfully, and that's why I applaud what Tennessee is doing, in North Carolina and Mississippi and other states that are pushing back, number one, against the federal government, but right now the federal government is really being driven by Barack Obama. And you hear all this, you know, talk about, well, what can we do? We can't do anything. No, they can, and they are. And we should support them when they do. And say, well, it'll be challenged in court. So? I mean, you can't do anything today without it being challenged in court. But let the left go through the process and challenge them in court. But I think you're absolutely right. I think, Terry, this sends a message that the states are tired of being pushed around by the secularist left that is represented primarily by the federal government under Barack Obama. Could not agree more, Terry. Thanks so much for listening and for calling in. All right, we're going to go to Tennessee, where Leo is on the line. Leo, welcome to Washington Watch.
Okay, hello.
All right, so what do you think?
No, I don't agree with it.
Okay, tell me why.
Because we don't have a state religion, and using the Bible as the state book would be basically trying to say that the state has an official religion now.
How is that? How is that? If they made Gone with the Wind the official book, what would that say about their religion? I mean, just because you have a book.
It doesn't say anything, but the Bible is not Gone with the Wind.
But it is a book. It is a book. It happens to be a sacred text, but it also is a book upon which a lot of history is. It contains a lot of history in it.
Why would we make the Quran the state book then?
Well, if the legislature wanted to do that and they thought they could and not get voted out of office, then let them try. Isn't that what we have, representative government?
Well, it seems like.
All right, Leo. Thanks for the call, Leo. You see, there we have it. This is a desire not to have Christianity in the public square. Now, just because you would have the Bible as a state book does not make it the state religion. And because you, for instance, withstood court challenge, legal challenge, as I mentioned a few moments ago, where the Bible has been taught as literature in the public schools. It's been taught as an elective in a religious course on religions. Now, it's not been taught as a religious study, for instance, like a Sunday school class, but it's been taught within the context of being a historical document and being instrumental to the United States of America. And again, I challenge you to go and find another source that has been more quoted and more referenced than the Bible. You'll be hard-pressed to find something that rises to the level of influence that the Bible has had in our nation. And so you have the representatives, the elected representatives, and the people of Tennessee don't like it, then let them vote them out of office. They have that right. But if it is in fact reflective of the people of Tennessee, then let them do it. My view. 866-372-7234. We're going to try to get in a couple more phone calls here. Obviously, this is touched on a nerve here. A lot of people want to weigh in. Let's go to Arkansas, where David is on the line. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony.
How you doing, David?
Better than I deserve.
Well, what do you think? You agree with what Tennessee's doing?
I wholeheartedly agree with Tennessee. In fact, I wish the United States government would enact a bill where the Holy Bible was the Bible of the United States. We wouldn't have to change anything out in Washington, D.C. Just like you said, it's plastered all over everything out there in D.C. So.
Yeah, but if the left has their way, they're going to break out the jackhammers and the sandblasters, and they're going to try to take that off of the buildings. They're trying to certainly take it out of the hearts and minds of people, especially our children, as they drive it far from our schools and now from the public square. And eventually they're going to get back around to these buildings. So, I think you're right, David. I think we need the best defense is a good offense. And I think we need to push back, and I think we need to show that, you know what, the American people are not going to take this lying down. We have every right to have our views reflected in our government by our elected officials. And you say, well, but you know what? I mean, what if, like Leo said, what if they do the Quran? Well, if the Quran, as the state book, could get through Tennessee, our nation is a lot worse off than I ever thought, even though after we've had Barack Obama for 7 years. And I know he's done everything he can to promote Islam in this country. But we're not at that point yet because the American people are not following him. David, thanks so much for listening and calling in today. We're going to go to Missouri, where Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I agree with the state that wants to promote the Bible. There's been hundreds, or I'm not sure, a thousand years it's been printed, and it's been the bestseller, and they keep on printing it over several hundred years. I don't understand why it wouldn't be a state for the book. And like you said, our presidents, at least in the early periods, has always put the the Bible and, like, in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and it was their motivation for our rights and liberties.
Right. Without question. I mean, you go back to the Declaration of Independence, they recognize that our rights, our freedoms, came not from government, but from God. And you see that, you see God in various ways, and the Scripture, the principles of Scripture, reflected in our Constitution. Now, well, we'll go down that path another day, because some would say, well, you're advocating for a theocracy. No, not at all. We do not want a government that is combined between the church and the state. We don't want that. In fact, it was the Christians who advocated for the separation, because what happens when you have the two combined, as we saw in England, is you have the corruption of both. We don't want that. But we don't want a government that's hostile to the very religion that gave birth to the freedoms that we enjoy as a country, which is what we have today under Barack Obama. And it's been increasing. I mean, he didn't start it, but he's certainly learning how to perfect it, or trying to perfect it anyway. 866-372-7234. Charles, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate the call today. Let's go to Indiana, where Melissa is on the line. Melissa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on your show, and thanks for all your good work.
Well, I appreciate that. What do you think? You agree with Tennessee?
I absolutely do, and I agree with some of your other callers. I think that we should make this the Bible, the book of the United States. I mean, that was the very core of our foundation that, I mean, was built from scriptures in the Bible. And I think that, you know, no matter what your denomination is, whether you believe in God or whether you don't believe in God, like you said earlier, there's so many things that's been used from the Bible, like you said, Samson and Delilah. You know, you've got people use the phrase old as Methuselah, and I mean, so many things have been taken from the Bible and used, no matter what denomination you are or whether you even believe in God. So yeah, absolutely, I think it should be Tennessee's book, and I think it should be the book of the United States, because
right.
I mean, that's what our core was founded on. I mean, that's what we were built on, was the Bible, words from the Bible. So,
well, we're almost out of time. Melissa, got to leave it there. But thank you so much for listening and for calling in. And I tell you what, we're going to continue this conversation, I think, tomorrow, because obviously folks really feel passionate about this, because the phone lines are still lit up. Look, I think Tennessee has the right to do what they want to do. All right. And I think that if the legislature has the votes and they want to overturn the veto of the governor, then hey, do it. But you got to weigh in if you live in Tennessee. All right. But here's where I am. It's not time to shrink back. It's not time to fall into the shadows. It's time to move forward. It's time to stand for the things that we care about and we believe in. And that's what they're doing in Tennessee. That's what they're doing in North Carolina. They're doing in Mississippi, and we need to stand with them. And I leave you with those words from the Apostle Paul: when you've done everything you can do, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.